Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Lex and Lux podcast.
Woo!
We are quickly moving up the charts right now as America's Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not going to see this because it's not a video podcast. But she just went to celebrate a little bit and damn near choked herself with the headphone cord.
Kanky.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, this is going to be an interesting episode. But for those of you who are new around here, we dive into all things dating and get personal with some things. We answer some viewer questions like that. We get into a whole wide range of topics.
Yep.
I'm your host, Brian Luxton, and the one that's trying to choke herself right now is my co-host, the one, the only, Lexi Fuentes.
Woo!
Yes, and thank you guys for who are returning. If you're new here, or even if you've been here for a while and haven't yet, like, subscribe, comment, review, rate. You can hit us up on the social media as well. I'm the Brian Luxton on both TikTok and Instagram. She's Fwen Lex, wherever you can find her.
It's not hard.
No, it's not hard at all. So, yeah, today's topic, if you are here from last week's episode, we delved into her breakups and really one specific one that we talked about. Now it's my turn to get into my feelings about this. And this is our third edition of the In Our Feelings, sub-series to this podcast. So welcome back. And yeah, let's dive right into it. Lex, you're going to be controlling this conversation
so
a little
bit
for once.
He's letting me be in charge.
Well, I'm more interviewing you, it seems So
so we're going to dive into his breakups. And the most, the one that you've been heartbroken about the most recently, that I feel like, would be Casino.
Yes. She was the most recent big one. Yeah.
I was very mad for you, to be fair. I was excited for you.
That was one that was a long time coming. So we had met on a bar crawl in 2018, went on a date in 2019. We just had very busy schedules at the start of 2019. So it was like we couldn't coordinate anything. So the date waited until like late March, early April of 2019. Went to a Nats game for Bryce Harper's return to DC. I am a lifelong Phillies fan, so I knew it was going to be big. I had gone to, I'm just going to ignore that comment. I had actually gone to spring training that year with my parents. We were there for his first game ever, just by chance. We had
That is fucking amazing.
It was
wild. Love Bryce Harper.
It was crazy that it was like we had bought these tickets months in advance. There weren't even rumors of him coming to Philadelphia. And then suddenly it's like, oh, we're walking down the streets of Clearwater, Florida, and people are going, hey, happy Bryce Harper Day.
Holy shit.
It was a huge deal.
I would have been shook.
It was a very big deal. Big standing ovation when he came to the plate.
Of course.
But yeah, no, that the date, we our first date was there back in 2019. I had recently been out of a 4.5 year relationship that ended in August of 2018. I honestly was not over her at that point. There was a lot of damage that had been done from that relationship. So that was taking time. And I just got to a point I could not be with Casino in that scenario where it was like, I'm just not fully here at this point. And actually, about a month and a half later, I did return to therapy. That wasn't related to that date or anything like that. It was in accordance with some other things going on in my life that it was like I was returning to school and that there was so much anxiety around that, which that's a podcast for another day.
We don't want to talk about our anxiety.
But no, that one, that, and then it was kind of like, but therapy definitely helped me uncover some other things for sure that it was like, huh, didn't know that was an issue, but that makes sense. But yeah, then Casino and I stayed friends. We follow each other on Instagram.
Still do, right?
Still do. Yep. Okay. She moved back to her hometown in Florida during COVID. She'd always intended to move back to DC, but she was like, oh, I'm going down just for the summer to go be on the beach and stuff with my family. And my, that makes sense. And then she stayed there for 2 years and was just kind of like, I wasn't paying rent. I didn't have to worry about my food or anything like that.
Don't blame
you. I get it. If I had that kind of relationship with my parents, 100%, I would have done that as well.
The same thing.
So, yeah, she did that for 2 years, came back to DC, and we would always send each other stuff occasionally on Instagram, or okay, like if we like there were a couple of things that we would comment on each other's Instagram stories if it was kind of just something interesting, like happy birthday text, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was never anything super formal until I think I just went over these dates actually with a friend. We were talking about this. I had actually gone on a first date with a girl on Wednesday, June 21st. And then Friday, June 23rd, Casino hits me up out of the blue.
To go to the concert.
To go to Echo Stage to see two friends.
I was on their
Planet Two Friends tour.
Because I was right.
So we went to that show and it was a good time.
Yeah.
Like it was our first time seeing each other and actually hanging out since 2019. Mm-hmm. We'd seen each other in passing of like out at the bar and something like, hey, how you doing kind of stuff. Never anything too crazy. But it kind of became clear to both of us our intentions were to actually see if this would go somewhere romantically at this point. And then we dated pretty much until the end of August, I think it was. I think it was like August 31st was our last time I saw her.
So good at dates, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is just because it's ingrained in my memory relative to other things. Like, the reason I remember the 23rd is because I was just looking back at the dates because I was thinking about this other girl that I had gone on the date with the 21st because it was like she was very big on gardening and plants and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I now have an apartment with a balcony and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, now I have actual spot I could put plants. And I was like, I was going to text her and be like, hey, can I actually get some advice on this? Because you're an expert in it. And then I was kind of like, I don't know, that might be weird. She might ask questions because the reason that ended with her was she's like, you don't seem interested in it anymore. I was like, well, you kind of just ran into a fucking buzzsaw that was Casino.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't beating her.
And yeah.
I didn't know 2 days later she was going to hit me up out of the blue. So
exactly. Yeah.
It was just one of those, and it's not a door I really felt like opening. But that's why I was looking over those dates. And then I also had a big licensing exam, like the Tuesday after things ended with Casino. So that's how I remember it was like the 31st.
Yes,
so
okay. Yep.
It was right around Labor Day too. That's remember that. Yeah.
It was a rough time for you.
Yeah, no, that was not a fun time.
No, it was like the first time that I've seen you emotional. And like because we talk about our emotions, but I've never seen you talk about a girl the way you talked about Casino.
Yeah. I mean, I remember our final conversation. Our last date, we went to Dirty Habit in D.C. And then we went to Rocket Bar, which
I
knew was her favorite bar. And I was just kind of like, you know what? She had already told me she didn't see this going anywhere. And it was kind of like, I was like, hey, we already have these dinner reservations. This is like, I think she told me on like a Friday and then we had dinner reservations for Tuesday or something like that.
It's all coming towards me. You were fucking nervous too. Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm going to go. And she said to me, she's like, I respect you enough. We've been friends long enough. She goes, absolutely. We can go to dinner. We can do that. And she goes, let's see where it goes.
I'm like,
cool. If you're keeping an open mind, I'm going to keep an open mind. And that was one of those. I knew I had one shot.
Yes.
And it was, I got to take it. Like, I've gotten to a point in my life, thanks to a lot of the people I surround myself with now, that it's like, I'm not going to regret failing. If when I went on that date, it did not work out, obviously. Yeah. That's why we're discussing this right now. But I knew I would have regretted if I just didn't put up the fight, at least.
Which you knew going in, you were going to put up a fight because we talked about that. Because you were like, this is my last chance. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, that was absolutely everything I had. And I, to use a sports analogy, I left everything on the floor that night. And I don't regret it.
Yeah.
Like, it was stressful. It was a rough, like, 4 or 5 hours. But everything I had went into it at that point, and it was kind of cool. I don't have a better pitch than that. I don't have a I couldn't have done anything better. And I'm okay with knowing that wasn't enough, because at least I did the best I could. But yeah, no, after that date, basically the reason she had said it ended was because she didn't feel like she could fully open up to me. And that whole date was very strange. So
Yes.
I mean, we went to dinner together and I show up a couple minutes late because I did take a longer, I took like a long
You did the long round. Yeah. Because I remember you texting me and you're like, I'm going to go around the block one more time.
Yeah, because I was worried she was going to stand me up.
Yeah.
Now, granted, she had enough respect for me that I didn't, deep down, didn't think she actually would.
Yeah, but still.
But you never know. Part of me was concerned about that for sure.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to show up until she texts me that
she's
there.
Yeah. Which is not like Brian not to be there early and not to, I mean, you were there early, but like waiting for you.
Correct. And I tend to do that with most dates is I don't like going in on a to a restaurant before a date and just like let her show up first. Mm-hmm. And then, so
yeah,
I'm circling and she texts me that she's there. And anyone who's been to Dirty Habit knows that you go through this walkway to get there from the sidewalk.
Fucking entrance.
It is. Yeah.
But it's pretty.
It is very pretty. But I walk in and I can see her standing at the like inside entrance that's in the courtyard.
Yeah.
And she is wearing a tiny black dress, boobs completely out.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, okay, this is a different tone than I expected.
Yeah,
because like if you're not trying to impress someone, why are you wearing that dress?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it makes her feel pretty, but it's not her character.
Uh-huh.
Like if that's how she normally dressed, I'd be like, okay, that's
fair enough.
But it's like she's very conservative, she's very professional most of the time.
Yeah,
like that's not her. And she's very much like, a lot of the other dates, like she would wear rompers, but like fully covered, or she would wear like a nice dress that you would wear to work kind of thing. So it was like, huh, this is out of character.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's an interesting sign. I don't know what this means. So we go into dinner. Conversation's going pretty well. We're talking about life. She had just gotten a mouse in her apartment kind of thing and dealing with that. Yeah. Lives in Navy Yard. That's the price of living in Navy Yard. So she was telling me about that. We were chatting about something that happened at work that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget how exactly she, like I said, I made some comment and she then was like, oh, well, yeah, we're just too different. And like, let me explain. Cause that was her initial text to me when she ended things first initially was like, we're just too different. And I'm like, okay, how? Like if you give me an answer, I'll be okay with it. But
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like, you don't have an answer to this. And I don't see how we're too different.
Yeah.
But she then just goes on, gives me the runaround. There were no real answers. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, okay, we progress back to like normal dinner conversation. Like, okay, this is fine. But it was going very well. It was so like very cordial, very friendly. I wouldn't expect anything different if I took you to dinner. Like that's how the conversations were progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, hey, I'm like, do you want to go check out this bar that my friend had recommended? Now, granted, I knew this was one of her favorite bars. She had told me back in like 2020 that she was going there. And I just, it stuck in my mind that I was like, oh, it's Rocket Bar is one of those bars that's like fun games, stuff like that. Pool, darts.
It's okay.
I mean, it depends on what your vibe is. For you, it's not a thing. It's not really a thing. Because the only thing, like we've discussed, the only things you will put in your hands are drinks and cocks. Like, you don't want darts or pool sticks or anything like that. So, you're not even denying this. So I can't be wrong.
He is wrong.
So
this episode's about you, okay? Shut the fuck up.
But let me be funny. That's what I do. I am the humor on this podcast.
Shut the fuck up.
But we go there because I'd known it was one of her favorite bars. Mm-hmm. And then also someone on my softball team had made a comment about it recently that they're like, oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun to go there if you like pool, darts, that kind of stuff. So I suggested, and she's like, oh, I love it. Let's go. I'm like, all right, cool. We're both feeling pretty good. We've had a few drinks in us at this point. We're walking there, and I was just, I forget how it came up. I was like, you understand that we can't be friends, right? And she's like, well, maybe we can work something. I'm like, I don't know. And she grabs me and kisses me, like, on the crosswalk over
there. Yes, like, I remember this.
Okay, that's not a sign I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, that's confusion for sure going through my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to Rocket Bar. We are talking. We're being very flirty. I am very big on physical touch and PDA on dates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like it was kind of like normal contact. I put my hand on her thigh, kind of stuff like that. And as we we just kept drinking and drinking and drinking. It was like Lex's first date kind of thing. We probably had, I don't know, 8 to 10 drinks apiece in us at that point. Yeah, for you, for you, that's a normal Tuesday night. For me, that's a decent amount.
Fair enough.
But we're playing darts, we're playing basketball, we're playing all this stuff. And it's getting very flirtatious, especially when we're playing darts and keeping score and stuff like that. It's getting handsy. It's getting, yeah. There's kissing. There's all this kind of stuff. And so then night wraps up. It was like midnight and we're both like, all right, we got work in the morning. Let's head out. So we go up top, like it's a basement bar. So we go up to the ground level and she's calling her Uber and we're talking and we're talking like nose to nose at this point. We're like hugging like as if we were kissing and stuff like that. And she's like, honestly, I just feel like I can't be myself when I'm with you. And I'm like, I'm like, why not? She's like, honestly, I don't know. And I'm like, well, this may be kind of a wrong question to ask right now. I'm like, have you ever been yourself, able to fully open up and be yourself? And she's like, yeah, I guess. And I have replayed that date in my head more times than I can fucking count. And I've run this. And one thing I do after a breakup is I analyze the crap out of things. I process
very much,
it fully.
Very much. He will question what they say, you said, everything.
To me, that helps me get over it quicker.
Yeah.
Because then it's like one thing I've come to learn about myself is when I'm emotional about something, like in the past, like I have feelings and stuff like that that get hurt in the moment. But when I'm emotional about something in the past, it tends to mean it's because there's like a lesson or something I haven't learned from it. Like, oh, I haven't fully processed this. What is this trying to tell me? So I don't have a lot of sadness associated with that anymore. Like emotional sadness that is in my past from that breakup. But it was just something I hyper analyzed. And I told numerous people about it. And every single one of them came back to, I think she has commitment issues.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was an unreasonable reach, but obviously, especially as a guy, you ask yourself, like, what did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Because that's how life usually works for a guy. Like, whatever happens to us is as a result of something we did
pretty much.
So it was the question that I asked myself a lot, and it did take a while. Now, unfortunately, I did not pass my licensing exam after that. And then I retook it and did not pass again in December.
That's
a different discussion. Yeah, this is not one that's like a very common one for people to have at my age. So I'm not too worried about it. It was a stretch, but it was one of those that it also offered me a distraction from it.
Yes, because you took a break from dating.
Because it was like,
he deleted his Hinge, did everything. You were fully off the apps.
Correct. I needed to focus on myself, mostly for the licensing exam, but it also helped that it coincided with the breakup.
Yeah, I think you needed that, though, because you were upset. And I've never seen you as upset as you were with this one, because you tried so hard.
Yeah, too. And I said to her, I was like, at the end of the night, I'm like, you need to understand we can't be friends.
Yeah.
She was kind of like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you are everything I could ever ask for in a woman.
Yeah. And when we do talk about her, you do mention all the things that you want in your future partner to marry.
Yes.
Is everything that she has.
She brought everything and more to the table. Now, granted, were we a perfect match? Probably not. If I actually looked at things in certain things. But everything regardless. I've said I wanted...
She had it.
Yeah.
She did.
And that's what makes it hard is like, we're still friendly. We don't talk anymore. My birthday somewhat recently passed. No message from her or anything like that. And
did I miss your birthday?
I don't think so. It was back in February.
Oh, I definitely didn't miss your birthday. No.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
I was like, holy shit, did I miss it last week?
No. Okay. No, significantly before then. But no, it was one of those that we have not spoken since that night, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't need it being drummed up. But obviously, you saw you and I have analyzed stuff that's been posted on her story since then. Of
we
that
have.
Guy at the rodeo thing.
Yeah, rodeo we were trying to figure out.
And it was like...
Just a coworker.
Yeah, that's what we think. It was just possibly a coworker. So I don't know.
Because there's it was soon like right after, and it was weird when it came out because you were like... Wait, she just told me she wasn't ready, But is she ready for someone else, basically?
Yeah, obviously.
Which can happen.
Absolutely.
It can happen.
And I think we're naive if we think we're only the only person dating someone.
Oh, 100%.
Like, any men out there that are watching that are talking to Lex, congratulations, you're 1% of the people. Now, granted, if you're going on dates with her, yeah, you're in a smaller group, but it's still multiple guys at any given moment until you're committed to her or she unhealthily falls madly in love with you, and then after 1 hour of talking, you're the only person she's talking to.
Not anymore, bitches. It's all over for you.
There
we
go. I
got men after men after men. Fuck you all.
But yeah, no. Yeah. Then there was the question of like, oh, maybe there was this other guy that mm-hmm. she viewed as mm-hmm. better for her, and definitely could have been a thing.
Could have been, but I think of the conversations that you guys were having, is that would have came out sooner.
Yeah, knowing her value system, like
I think, yeah, it would have came out. I don't think she would have hid that from you.
I don't think she was truly playing the field.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Some people aren't good at it.
No, and I just
some people don't like it.
There are also people who just that's not part of their value system either. Like they believe in monogamy 100% from the beginning.
Yeah,
like,
same. Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you 100% of myself right away until, and if you prove to me it's not working,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm going to give it everything I have.
Yeah.
And I respect that. Because that's really the only way to know if something's going to work. It's like when you're 100%, she's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that works out, then great.
Yeah. Like,
then you're going to know. But obviously that's a tough thing to balance, is mm-hmm. giving one person 100% of your attention, because then the breakups happen and that's never a fun feeling.
Yes. Which brings me to this. You have always broken up with them, right?
Never.
Never.
I will say, one, when I was seeing LC,
mm-hmm.
I was planning on breaking up with her.
Okay.
And she kind of broke up with me. I was planning on using something as cover. So it was kind of like, oh, I need another 2 weeks to then be like,
figure out, yeah, what I'm going
to
say.
Well, that was when I was considering moving to Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be like, oh, I was going to Austin in 2 weeks. And then it was kind of like, well, she's staying here in DC area. She had no intentions of moving.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, well, like, I'm not going to make you commit to me. We'd only been seeing each other for less than 3 months at this point. And I'm like, look, I don't want you to sit here and be like, oh, I need to move with you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And long distance relationships aren't fun.
Correct. So I was like, I'm just going to give you the cover of this for mm-hmm. sure, and just be like, the polite way of doing it.
Yeah.
And then she ultimately ended up ending it because she felt like I was distancing myself, which
you
I
were.
Was. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that worked out. But mm-hmm. that's the closest I've come to ending it myself.
Yeah. I couldn't remember on that. I feel, as someone who always is getting broken up with, it's such a weird thing, and I don't like it. I don't like being the one to break up with someone.
No, I don't disagree with you on that. Yeah. I mean, having never experienced mm-hmm. it, I don't know.
Yeah, but you've been kind of close. It's just weird. It's just a weird feeling. I'm just emotional about everything, so feeling caring about someone else's feelings, I'm like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings by breaking up with them.
No, absolutely. I get that. I mean, to me, I view it as kind of like, you're doing what's in the best interest of both of you. Like, I was just talking to this woman on Hinge, and she had one issue with me, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of that issue. It wasn't anything personal with me. We didn't talk about this before.
I was going to say, what the hell?
She basically had one issue with, like, our timelines for how quickly we wanted to move things along. She wanted more expedited than I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I'm not going to make you, like, accommodate me. If we don't match, like, I want you to
on
do
that,
what's
yeah.
best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And she respected that, and I was like, okay, cool, that's
she wanted you to hang out like every day, or
no, she was just kind of like, she's, as you know, I date older, and she's kind of like, I want kids and I want them in the very near future, because that's obviously a biological issue with
women
so it's kind of like, okay,
see, that's the perks of me dating men half, twice my age.
Yeah, they already have the kids, makes your life easier. But no, it was yeah. It was one of those that it was just like, yeah, I'm not going to force you to change. Like,
yeah.
I respect you enough as a mm-hmm. human being. Like, yeah, granted, we never went on a date or anything like that, mm-hmm. but she's a human being. I care about her. Like,
go do what's
best for
you.
You
need to go do it. You need to have, like, your kids. Go do them.
Not going to be upset about you
mm-hmm.
doing what's in your best interest.
Exactly, yeah. So. Mm-hmm. And so now that you've talked this out, how do you feel about talking about Casino?
I mean, I don't mind talking about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have gone through it a gazillion times.
Yeah.
And the more I've gone through it, the less emotional I feel. And it's more like those feelings have stayed in the past and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel sad as we're talking about that. There was nothing that bubbled up during that at all. And it's one of those, if that opportunity presents itself for a third time in the future, would I take it? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Like, I was going to say you would in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great things that she brought to the table. So it's one of those that, hey, that door is never closed permanently,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of like a good example. I heard when I was going through my 4.5 year breakup was, have you ever heard of the phrase carrying a torch for someone?
No.
Okay. So it's a dated term that's more of our parents' generation, mm-hmm. for like, oh, you're carrying a torch for someone that broke up with you means you still have feelings for them.
Okay.
So someone said to me that it was like, the better way of viewing that is, rather than carrying a torch for someone, is to light a candle for someone. And think of it like you have a candle next to an open window for that person. That mm-hmm. it's their ideal image of themselves, where it's like, if you had everything go right in your life, like that's what I'm hoping for. And if you, that's what I want for everyone. Like
mm-hmm.
there's no one that I can sit here and say, I legitimately hate that person. I want their life to suck. Like, no.
Oh, yeah,
like,
100%. No, not at all. Like, neither of us are like that.
I want people to be successful. And it's like, so I view it as like that open window and a candle, right, carrying a torch, mm-hmm. is like my college girlfriend. I don't speak to her. We haven't spoken in years. Mm-hmm. A lot of shit has gone down since then,
mm-hmm.
because of her. And it's like, okay, I still love her. I still care about her. And if she needed something, like, God forbid her dad passed away, mm-hmm. would I pick up the phone if she called? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I will absolutely. I'm not going to go back to being with you.
Yeah. This is the one that did talk bad about you, though.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. she is. Yeah. And now she is engaged to the former president of my fraternity while I was mm-hmm. there. So,
yeah.
Whole fun little saga there.
Yeah. But
no, that's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Is rather than carrying a torch for someone, then think of it as more of a candle, where it's like you still have the love for them,
mm-hmm.
but you're just rooting for them. And it's like, God forbid something is needed and they need to come back in your life for something.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't need to marry them. You don't need to date them again.
Yeah.
But you can still be there for them as a human being.
Because
mm-hmm. that's one thing that I've come to learn as since college or since moving down here more than anything is like, we're really all not that different. We're all like, as someone put it, that we're all the same person, just living a different life. And mm-hmm. it's like, once you start looking at the world that way,
okay,
it's like, yeah, like you're you because of the trauma you went through. If
mm-hmm.
if I went through the same trauma as you, I'd probably be exactly like you are.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And you start realizing that it's like, oh, yeah, when everyone is the same as you, it's kind of like you mm-hmm. can't hate anyone.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they're a victim of their circumstances. Now, mm-hmm. they do have power over them in some cases, but
some you don't.
For some reasons, people don't always take the control over those circumstances either and allow themselves to be victims of them. So, mm-hmm. granted, yeah, there's a lot I have come to learn with that. So, no, while I do hold Casino, my college girlfriend, and many others in my heart very dearly, it's mm-hmm. like, am I sitting here longing for the day that Casino texts me and asks for another date or another chance?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
If it presents itself, okay. If I'm in that spot in my life and it presents itself, absolutely. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess rugby's the other one that was also, yeah.
That was one. My neck.
Okay. Ask away.
Rugby. I'm just like, I liked both rugby and Casino, to be honest. Those were my favorites.
Okay. How come?
Because especially with Casino was everything that you've always told me of what you wanted in a woman. And I feel like some of rugby had that as well.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think with rugby, she's similar to your Frenchie scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it was
you
like,
were
oh
not.
My God, what she went through prior to our, like me meeting her mm-hmm. just by a few months. it is a breakup that I cannot fathom going through.
I couldn't imagine what Frenchie went through either.
And it's just kind of like, very similar to each other, actually. And it's just like,
But then both of us did realize is like we, they couldn't be, I mean, like we talked about Frenchie, like he's just not the best person right now because of the shit he went through. Like he could be better, but he obviously can't because he's still hurting. And she was still hurting at the same time with you, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. I mean, I never learned the exact timeline of how things went down, but based on stories she told me, I kind of pieced it together that it was like,
it was
realistically
recent.
Like less than 6 months prior. And when you're dating these people for that long, speaking from experience, it's not just, or you're not just losing a person at that point.
Yeah.
You're losing your future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fucking hard to reconcile.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, this is no longer just about, oh, I'm not going to be able to text this person anymore. I'm not going to be able to ever see this person.
Mm-hmm.
It's then like, oh, all the dreams I had about my family and about a wedding and all that stuff. That's all gone.
Yeah.
Like who you are is gone.
Mm-hmm. And see, I've never been in that long of a relationship. So I guess I don't know. I don't know at all of how that feels, especially with the future that you had planned. Because obviously you were thinking about marrying her. You were thinking about this, kids, all those things. So those emotions definitely do come out.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, You say you've never been in a long-term relationship and lost it. Honestly, it's, you've lost people close to you that have died, though.
Yeah.
And that's, it's not dissimilar. If you talk to psychologists, neuroscientists, stuff like that, the grief you go through of losing a long-term partner is not that much different than you go through when someone dies in your life. Because it is just, it's just gone.
Which, 14 years later, it still hurts. Like, I can't even imagine.
No, I mean, that was the one of the root causes that I figured out in therapy for me was my grandmother passed away in 2010 as well. So it's coming up on 14 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were on the same timeline with that.
Yeah.
What and month?
October 29th, 2014.
Yeah.
Or 2010, sorry.
2010,
Yeah, no, she passed away and I didn't realize how big of an impact that had on me until like August of 2020 when I was in therapy.
Yeah.
And it was like, my therapist was like, you understand you have been going through clinical depression completely undiagnosed for 10 years.
Oh, right? Yeah. That's exactly what happened with me.
And I was like,
because of the loss of them.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't realize how big it was. And it was like, So it's not uncommon. Like if you've experienced a death, you've experienced what it is like to lose a long-term partner.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate for sure, but it's one of those things you do have to grieve. So Frenchie and Rugby, it's like, I don't knock either of them for not being over like what they went through, especially in that short of a time frame. That's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like it takes time.
Which I did try to understand a lot because I was like giving the chance, like, okay, I get it. End of the relationship. I was trying to do that, but like we'll talk in our next episode of the needs that we need in these things, so we can't be friends.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean that is very, very true that it's like the more you try and drag it out with these people as friends, like I think we've all been there that we can make it work is just staying friends and stuff like that. It never works.
No.
Someone gets their feelings really hurt. Mm-hmm. It's jealousy. It's just a way to stay attached to this person. Because one thing that you have to ask yourself, and I feel like you've started asking yourself a little bit more lately with a breakup, is what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's one thing to just be like, oh, men suck. Like, I know one of your friends sent you a long Snapchat video, and hey, go fuck yourself. But it's one of those that it's like, you do have to ask yourself at times, what did you do wrong? Because it's not always the other person's fault. And it rarely is fully the other person's fault. Like granted, yes, I don't want to blame you if you're cheated on.
Yeah.
Like I understand the trauma that induces, but at some point you do have to kind of go, why did he cheat on me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sitting here saying there's ever a right reason to do it, but there's stuff you could have done differently and you can learn for future relationships.
And I did ask Frenchie that. I did ask him that.
And did he have an answer?
He did. He said he wasn't as affectionate, didn't really like want to do stuff, didn't want to go on dates, kind of was all about him. He would rather be home playing video games than actually like going into the fucking grocery store.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a lot of men that are like that.
Yeah, you get comfortable. Yeah. I think men get comfortable.
I think everyone does. I think seeing a lot of women, like, it's just because everyone becomes complacent after a while where it's like, oh, I don't need to try as hard. And this is, if you listened two episodes ago, we discussed date ideas.
Yeah.
And it's like, you were like, oh, well, I think of hanging out as a date. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're with someone long enough, hanging out's not
going to do it. You need to go out. Yeah.
You need to continue to date your partner.
Yes.
And I think that's incredibly
important. Seen a bunch of TikToks about that. It's like when you get older, you need to remember to date your partner. Like, and that's some things people forget. I mean, I forgot about it, obviously, but I've also never been in such a long term, like a year really, really isn't that long.
No. I mean, hell, we've been friends for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, that's not that long of a time frame.
No.
Like it doesn't feel like that long. And granted, we talk about COVID as a time mark for us. And it's like, we have now passed 4 years everything shut down.
Holy shit.
And it's like, whoa, that doesn't feel like it was that long ago. Yeah. But four years is a very long time. It's college.
Yeah.
That's holy shit, that is college. Long time right to think about.
I'm getting old.
Yeah. So no, I mean, it is something you need to not become complacent with people. It's like, you got to still see these people as special. And it is tough being in a long-term relationship. We'll delve into that in a different episode because that's a whole different set of topics. And like, my parents have been married it'll be 40 years next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's a different set of challenges that it's like, how do you stay exciting? How do you stay fresh? How do you keep it interesting? Like there's got to be a little bit of mystery still, obviously, to uncover. So there's tons of stuff like that we'll dive deeper into at times. But no, I mean, when you ask people to like think about what they did wrong, it's easy to say it was the other person's fault and not accept responsibility. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, there's not a whole hell of a lot you could have done.
Yeah. And like, an example is if you would have met me a year and a half ago, I would have blamed everything that went wrong in Thelma and I's dad relationship on Thelma's dad.
Yes. Yeah.
But now that I think about it, I was not the best partner. I was horrible. I was the worst girlfriend ever.
And I think that's important that you can't undo that.
I can't. And like, that's why I tried to save our friendship so much with him.
Yeah.
To be fair. And keep Thelma in his life because I owed that to him because I was not the best girlfriend.
Yeah. And it couldn't have happened any other way because it didn't happen.
Exactly.
And that's one of my therapist like things. Like, look, the way it happened is the way it happened. You can't undo it now, but you can learn those lessons and then say, hey, now that I'm with lawyer guy or whomever it ends up being, you can sit here and say, I know better this time around. Yeah. And then you don't make that same mistake twice. And I think that's key. And learn from me. You learn from Sony. You learn from other people as well. Yeah. Because like we're recording in my office right now. And it's like I've watched multiple of my coworkers go through multiple failed relationships over this time. And it's like, you'll learn a little bit of like, oh, he did this right, but he didn't do this right. Yeah. And that's why it ended up not working. You start seeing, you learn from your failures. And that's totally normal. Mm-hmm. You learn from other people's failures. That's what you should be doing.
And like going back on Frenchie is like he had said to me one night, he was like, I'm not going to make the same mistake that I did in my last relationship because she left me because I was not that person. Like I was not who I used to be when we first started dating, like going on dates, doing things.
Yeah, I mean, to think that anyone is going to be the same person after, that was 6 years. Yeah. Like, you are not the same person you were 18 months ago.
And also, I think when you're in a relationship is that sometimes you either grow together or you grow separately, which is hard because you can do both, but you also need to be able to grow together.
Yeah, you absolutely need to be similarly aligned in long term because I've unfortunately watched friends go through this where I have warned them numerous times in advance of like, you guys aren't aligned on your goals, your values, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter. The pussy's good, whatever it is. they just continue to be with this woman.
Yeah.
And then it ends up biting them in the ass one way or the mm-hmm. other. And it's incredibly hard to watch it because the two that come to mind right now is like, they're the one couple that comes to mind. It's like, I love them both to death. One of them is my best friend in the whole world. And mm-hmm. the other one, I've known her pretty much since I moved down here and love her to death. She's an amazing person,
mm-hmm.
but they don't work together.
Yeah.
And it's just, I have warned him and he is now in a position where he's in too deep to get out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to listen to like what he goes through. Cause yeah, you do have to make sure you're similarly aligned and you can say all the right things at the mm-hmm. beginning. Cause that's what we all do. We put on our best face for
100%. Every man I have met has. Yes,
exactly. And then people change, people yeah. grow. It happens. Mm-hmm. That is a reality yeah. of life for sure.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it is tough to figure out what someone's true values are.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's something you need to ask yourself. And we'll get into in the next episode with what mm-hmm. you want in a relationship, because that was one of the things I found out about myself was I needed to write down a list of what was I looking for in a relationship? How many boxes does this person check?
Cause yeah.
thinking back to, it was not a relationship breakup, but Dixie and I were on and off for a year and a half
yep.
as mm-hmm. like a situationship. And the way it really ended was she was with me while I was going through my second degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was battling some things I didn't know I was battling during mm-hmm. that, where yeah. I didn't understand the linkage because, again, we'll get into this in more detail. I had returned to the University of Maryland where I'd started college and dropped out of because I just was not in a good spot. And suddenly being back there, even as an adult, I felt like the 18-year-old I was when I started mm-hmm. with all that baggage yeah. and trauma. And then it was just kind of like, she's like, oh, I could really see this going somewhere. And yeah, granted, I could have too. I absolutely could have seen it going somewhere too. She's an amazing, amazing woman. She's beautiful. But I just was not in a spot I was ready and felt able to commit.
Yeah.
Until I got that degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I held that in my hands and it was like, oh, that old version of me is gone. Mm-hmm. Like that's dead. And yeah. it was like the official milestone for me. I asked her and was like, look, can I take you out on a proper first date?
I'm ready. Yeah.
She was like, ironically, the guy she is now engaged to asked her to be exclusive that same day.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that never happened. She is now happily engaged. I never met the man. I don't know anything about him. But
is this?
This is the one you don't think's attractive.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the man.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They seem very happy together.
They do. They do look so cute together. You can tell the happiness yeah. in both of yes. them.
Oh, absolutely. But I will say it did devastate me for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I like to do when I go through a breakup of any kind or really feel any kind of strong emotions to something is journaling. Because
mm-hmm.
I've found that helps me just write out the processes of everything. And like, as I just put my thoughts on paper or type them out,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like, oh, okay, I'm thinking this. And then it's just every inner thought comes out and it's like, huh,
mm-hmm.
I didn't see this dot connects to this dot yeah. connects to this. It just helps me go through everything. And we talked about it in the love bombing episode, the big five personality traits of openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism.
Mm-hmm.
I started to delve into that a little bit more because I was like, people are like, oh, that's a very good thing to go through on a breakup and see how your personalities mm-hmm. align. I'm like, okay, let's see. So I started going through everything with that and was like, oh, our personalities really didn't align that yeah. well. Like we had chemistry like I've never had chemistry with anyone else. And that's really what a situationship is.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually having that conversation on a date with a girl. She asked me, she's like, what's a situationship? And it had come up in conversation because we were like talking yeah. about our dating history and stuff like that. And she's like, a bunch of my friends have been in one, but she goes, I don't know what it is. And I was like, have you ever been with someone where it's just chemistry and no compatibility?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's a situationship. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what Dixie and I had. And granted, like as fun as it was, as much as I care for her and love her to death, it would not have worked out in the grand scheme of things. Like, it trying to raise a family, trying to grow that. It's like, I don't know how well that would have worked out for sure.
And now, like, fuck, why do I have ADHD? I can't think of what I was going to say.
And now we're still friends on Instagram and stuff like that. I see her engagement stuff like that. And it hurt for a little while to see
it
that.
It did. But yeah, I remember you sending me pictures.
Now it's kind of like, okay, I'm happy because she's happy.
Yeah, which takes a lot of growth. I think for the longest time, a past men that I was with, I was so angry of how they treated me that I wasn't happy for them. But I look at them now and I'm like, okay, they're in happy relationships. Good for them. Are married. All that, like, they're happy, I'm happy, instead of me dwelling on it.
Yeah, I think it's called compersion, I think is what that.
Don't use fucking big words around me.
Well, I think that's the term that it's when you like, you get pleasure from someone else receiving pleasure. Mm-hmm. I've only ever heard it in the context of like open relationships. People talk about it, which that's a whole different story. If like you're
could not fucking be in an
no,
open
you're
relationship.
Way too jealous of a person. But
I don't know. I'm not that jealous sometimes.
If you knew lawyer guy was banging some other girl, like out while you're sitting at home with Thelma, and you know he's out on a date, having fun, having sex with another girl, you're not getting jealous? Exactly. Yes.
But I'm getting better than I'm trying not to.
No.
But be fair.
If you're in an open relationship, he's your partner. It's beyond just like, we've gone
on
a
couple
couldn't
do
dates.
That. No. If we were exclusive, of course I'd be pissed if he was doing that. But we're obviously not. So he has every right to do that.
Yes. Yeah. That's a different kind of deriving pleasure from someone else's receiving pleasure. Mm-hmm. Where it's kinda,
I try not to be jealous.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you try. And I think we all try with that for sure. But no, I mean, it is one of those. I wish her well. I hope. Yeah. This is the man she ends up staying with. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know him at all. So
divorce rates are so fucking high.
Yeah.
You could be the second marriage.
True. Who knows at this point? But
that will be my life for everyone.
Honestly, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with that with you.
That I'll be someone's second marriage?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, it is real.
It has happened a couple to most men. Yeah. The last couple men that I've dated have been post-divorce. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is absolutely.
Which I have nothing against. People get divorced. People outgrow each other. People do this. People do a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Not opposed to it.
Yeah.
Would I have loved to be the first one? Of course I would have loved to be the first one. But not going to happen. But my ring better be fucking bigger and the wedding better be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is very, that's very true. I do understand that though. But no. Yeah. It's never fun to go through these breakups of getting dumped like this because that is how it goes for me, is I'm always the one being dumped.
One day I need you to dump someone.
Yeah. I mean, usually when it's someone like that, that it's like, it just kind of like grows apart and then it's like, okay, now it's over.
Yeah.
Like IG Chef and I, we ironically both went back to exes, but that just kind of stopped. And like, granted, we still talk. Like, she literally just texted me out of the blue. Where do you think Kate Middleton is?
Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't like IG Chef.
Well, that's because she knew I was a big fan of the royal family as well.
I know, poor Kate Middleton.
Middleton.
Kate Middleton.
Yeah. Yes. No, my heart goes out to her for sure. But
no, it was so sad.
But no, it was one of those that it was kind of like, yeah, she knew I was a fan of it. And she was kind of like, I don't know if I have any other friends that are this like into it. So she just texted me that.
Texted you. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Very weird text to get from someone I haven't really talked to other than like occasional cooking stuff we send back and forth. Because she's a chef. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point, yes.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
No, understandable.
This is why Brian and I had a fallout.
Yes.
Once.
Yeah.
He bought me Lost Dog, though, and we kind of made up for it.
Yeah, no, that wasn't a shining moment in my life, but hey, it wasn't the end of
Brian learned his fucking lesson, I will tell you that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, we can say that.
Mm-hmm. Not to fucking piss me off like that.
No. I understood what I did wrong.
Yeah.
The wrong thing was telling her I did it, but...
Yeah.
But no, I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean... breakups are never fun, but honestly, at this point, I feel like I've gotten so used to it that it's like...
Doesn't bother you.
It doesn't really bother me. I wish these people well. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Logan and I were having a conversation, who's one of my coworkers, and it was specifically about you and...
Me?
Yeah. It was about you and one of my other female friends. It's like, I've gotten so close with you guys that it's like, it almost has impacted talking to women on dates, that it's like, I've gotten so comfortable with like just being friends with women.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, I was out at a bar crawl and this girl sent a fucking paragraph of a text message.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her afterwards and I was kind of like, she wasn't really feeling me. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, does this have anything to do with that paragraph of a text message you sent to your man that's not actually your man?
Yeah. And oh, shit.
She was like, what? And then I was like, I looked over your shoulder at Abigail because you were texting for like 5 minutes. And
yeah.
I'm like, I saw just a paragraph. And I'm like, I'm assuming there's a man out there that you're sleeping with that you think's committed to you, but he's actually not.
Uh-huh.
And then she showed me it was to one of her friends. It was not actually a guy. But it was kind of like... Then we started talking about that, and it was kind of like, cool, but now I'm kind of in towards a friend zone space here.
Yeah, you friend zoned yourself.
Because it's kind of like, I've gotten so used to talking to you that it's like, that's how we talk. And unfortunately, I know way more information than I need to know.
Shut up. I have no one else to talk to about
it. I understand, but I don't want to know about certain guys' dick size and
that's
stuff like
not
that.
F-
you do mention it, though.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Not all the time.
Not all the time, thankfully, but you do mention it from time to time. And it's very strange. But it's like, I'm used to it at this point.
Yeah.
And it's...
One thing about me is I never shut the fuck up. I am a certified yapper. I will tell you everything if you ask. Everything. From childhood up. I don't remember most of my childhood, but what I do remember, I will fucking say.
Yeah, no, you certified like to yapper. Overshare... For sure.
100%.
When it comes to like the dates, and it's like, oh, how was your date? I'm looking for like, was the conversation good? Where did you guys go? Not like, oh, he's not circumcised. It was weird. It's like, I didn't need to know that, but okay.
Brian's used to it, so it doesn't really matter.
No, yeah, at this point, I'm numb to it, but no, it feels like it does impact my. Mm-hmm. Way of talking to women in a romantic setting, because I've gotten so accustomed to talking to women in a non-romantic setting like this. Like, okay, there's no romantic feelings here.
No.
But it's just like, now I have to be able to flip that switch from being like, I talk to you this way to like, oh, now I'm talking to this woman who it's like, this could progress to something. Yeah. I don't know. So it's
maybe
just,
get off your fucking Xbox.
It's PlayStation now.
Same fucking
It was
thing.
My tax return present to myself.
That's ridiculous. I'm mad at him for it because he's too fucking busy now.
Well, between at the start of this year, my Xbox broke. And then I'd also, because I'm currently saving to buy a house, I'd stopped gambling. And it was like sports gambling.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, those were big things for me leading up to this year. And suddenly I had none of it. And it was just like, oh, fuck.
I have money.
I had never thought. Well, it wasn't just that. It was just like I had never really thought about it. And it was kind of like, these are things I used to like really enjoy. And now it's like, now I'm just cutting it out of my life. And I'm like, they weren't unhealthy. I didn't gamble to a degree that I was like
losing enough. $400 in one setting like I did.
I mean, I did, but I always made sure it was like I could afford to lose that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my money, so I don't really
That's
care.
True, too. Yeah, no, I never gambled outside of my means. I never like was up to like 3 a.m. playing video games. Or I was never that. I never was that guy. So it was always like, it's just something I liked doing when I had downtime that it was like, yeah. So then it was like, now it's like, oh, now I'm gambling on March Madness because we're talking about this. It's like, all right, we have the Masters coming up. So
is that golf?
Yeah. So it's like, all right, yeah, going to be putting some money on that. It's like, all right. This is starting to feel a little better now that I'm back into like the swing of things that I enjoy. But
yeah,
no, it was just something I hadn't really realized that talking to you has impacted talking to other women. That it's like,
damn,
I can't talk to you like I can't talk to women I'm interested in how I talk to you.
No, I mean, I talk to men any fucking way.
Yes. Yeah. You talk to men like you're a man.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
And sometimes you have a throaty enough voice that it's deeper than some of the men you date. And I'm not wrong, clearly.
Shut up.
But no, it's, you talk to men like you're, they're another man. And I do wonder if that impacts you as well.
Could
with your
be.
Dating.
I mean, yeah, but I think I'm used to it is because I grew up with four brothers.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to understand.
Yeah.
Like, that does.
I don't want to know what you did to your brothers. Then
shut
if that impacted
up.
Your
oh my
dating.
God. Shut up. Never say that again. That, nothing.
That's bordering on illegal.
That is nothing. You're disgusting. Nothing
that's wedding
happened.
Guy territory.
Fucking his cousin. No, yes. But I just think that, like, because I can be chill and like surrounded by them, and I do have guy friends just because I grew up with my brothers and having so many.
And I know this is going to kill you to hear this because I remember a fight you had on TikTok about not being a girl's girl.
Yeah.
You are a guy's girl.
I'm a guy's girl.
Yeah, I think you've become that.
Ah.
Where it's just kind of like you drink a lot. You like baseball in particular with sports.
Yeah.
You're loud.
Mm-hmm.
You like sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you shut at up. Least do it to
stop
get
telling
people
the fucking
to like
world.
You.
Stop telling the world that I like sex.
But it's just like, okay, that's very much a guy's kind of trope.
Yeah, I mean, I do like sports, so I guess there is that. Yeah,
You're not out partying with a lot of girls. You don't do brunch, like bottomless brunch, all the time with different women.
No.
I just your temperament is a little more masculine.
Shit.
You're a guy's girl.
I'm a guy's girl. Fuck.
It's okay.
That could explain a lot.
It's okay. I mean, there are different types of guys, girls. Like, it's not a one size mm-hmm. fits all. Like, there's yeah. different. That can get into a different episode for sure. But like, Casino was a guy's girl.
Yeah.
Because it's like she also grew up three older brothers.
Yeah.
She was a collegiate athlete. Rugby.
Yeah, I was too.
Also, mm-hmm. yeah, that we're not counting that. Not counting when you can eat nachos and play the sport.
You can't do it while you're playing.
But you can.
Not at a game, like a game when you're at your meet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But
continue.
No, rugby, also very successful career in a finance world that tends to be male dominated. She's called rugby because she currently plays rugby. She mm-hmm. was a collegiate rugby player as mm-hmm. well. It's like, okay, more of a masculine temperament for sure. And then LC, she's a very well-decorated military officer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, she played collegiate rugby as well, which that's a very weird subtype I have found. I have gone
rugby
out with
girls.
Five rugby women in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. Basic rugby, hit them up.
That are interested in men. Do you know how? And they don't. None of them have known each other. That's is
crazy.
The most remarkable accomplishment of my life. That it's like, how do you not all know each other?
Yeah,
you would think
it's a small world.
Exactly. You would think it can't be that many of you, but apparently there are. But mm-hmm. no, that's just something. As I was talking to you, it's like, you do kind of come across. I could see how you come across as a guy's girl for sure.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong.
No, but yeah, this is how we get very sidetracked. Because, I mean, we're now coming up on 3 hours of just us recording for this, recording today. And it's like, we have very good conversations because we don't run out of things to say. We go on many different tangents.
Talk, yeah. Plus, I forget half the shit we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, very true. No, I mean, the whole thing about this was breakups and specifically my breakups today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
we did good on talking about you for once.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're the one that people pay to come see.
Men don't pay me. You.
And we're back. Sorry, we had to do a quick little cut there. Yeah. Of some things got said.
Said that shouldn't have been said.
Yes.
That's fine. We do that a lot.
Yes. Lex is not actually a hooker or an escort.
I'm not.
So please do not try and request her services.
No, but men do fucking pay me for nothing.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that is the one nice thing, I guess, about being somewhat TikTok famous is you do get men sliding in your DMs offering you money mm-hmm. for stuff like that.
Yeah, they'll get my nails done. They'll buy my shit, like buy clothes for me, do all that stuff.
And have you ever even met Delaware guy?
Yeah, twice.
Okay. I wasn't even sure if you would ever cross paths with him. Okay.
There was a guy that paid me $100 to get my nails done, and it was supposed to take me on a date that night, and then never took me on the date.
Nice.
But paid for my fucking nails. Because I said I was going to get my nails done. He's like, I'm going to pay for them.
And I'm like, be nice.
Okay. And there was another guy
that the one that sent you flowers for Valentine's Day?
No, that's another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one did send me flowers, and he did buy me dinner one night because I said I was hungry, but I wasn't going to eat. And he's like, you need to eat. And I'm like, no, like, it's a weird time to eat right now. And he's like, no, I'm sending you money. Go get food. I'm like, I'm not asking for fucking money.
It's a power thing for them.
Yeah.
They want to control you. They want to manipulate you.
Dude, they're still not. They're going to get my fucking, I'm going to get my nails done and do all that shit with it.
No, but that's how they view it. They view that. That's the feeling they're getting. Oh, that's 100% why men do that kind of stuff.
I mean, I date rich men anyway, so, like, none of this really, like, is new to me.
No, it's just them trying to feel powerful, control, and, like, ha.
No,
like,
I'm Latina. They're not going to get control.
I understand that, but it's just one of those that believe that's the dynamic they're going for. But, yeah. All right. Well, we have to get out of here. Thank you again for tuning in to, I guess this is episode number 8 now, I think we're at. So... yes, wherever you're listening, like, comment, subscribe, follow, share with a friend, share with your family, share with
with our families. Yes. Fuck no.
But no, thank you again for tuning in.
Yes, thank you.
You can find her at Fwen Lex on TikTok and Instagram. I am the Brian Luxton on both of them. Send us DMs, comments,
anything
you want to hear on future episodes, any questions you want us to have answered, just let us know. All right.
All right. Bye. See ya.